Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're joined by Brian Wachter. He's the Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The holidays are upon us, a time of celebration, family gathering, and gratitude. There are gifts to be wrapped, feasts prepared, love shared, and memories made. Life is precious, so let us cherish each other and all that we have. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We thank you for letting us enrich your lives, and thank you for your support throughout the year. Happy holidays.
RANNV.org.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Las Vegas Metro Chamber. We're delighted, as always, to welcome back to the program Brian Wachter. In his daytime job, he is Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. But today we're going to start out with an announcement that is completely separated from your daytime job.
It is, Sam. You know, I'm very excited to announce that I'm going to be seeking a position on the Clark County School Board of Trustees. I've lived in District B for well over 25 years now. That's where I grew up. It's where my kids are growing up, and I think it's time. So I'm happy to announce that I'm throwing my hat in that ring, and I want to serve as a school board trustee.
All right. Now, I know from my personal relationship with you that you have spent a lot of time involved in school issues. What are the biggest things that are driving you towards what is going to be a tremendous commitment of time if you're fortunate enough to be elected?
Well, I think what I feel is really missing from the conversation right now is an emphasis on student achievement. It's almost an afterthought to the other conversations that we keep having over and over, whether they're funding, whether it's discipline, any number of issues. But at the core of it, you know, government resources are being spent in order to educate students so they're prepared to enter society in whatever mode that looks like. And when we don't have half of our eighth graders or half of our fourth graders proficient in just basic English and math, that's an issue. So I think part of this is running a campaign to where we're talking about student achievement and the things that need to be done, the things that we can do, so that we're not keep running around on this wheel that we really can't solve. We need to be looking at student achievement.
And the biggest conversation, especially on this program, has been over the years, is the funding of education. Do you see that as the number one issue, or do you see things within the system that can be changed that would help accomplish that goal?
I think the education community is convinced that there certainly is a funding issue. And I think anyone who's watched public policy as long as I have would be hard-pressed to say that there aren't things that more finances could solve. But I don't want to suggest that that's the only solution to the problem, because quite frankly, there are too many hurdles to that solution. The general public does not seem to be convinced that those dollars are necessary. They're not convinced at this point that additional taxes are needed. And so that doesn't seem like it's very likely to happen. So we do have to, whether out of choice or by necessity, we have to start looking about how we can increase student achievement given the resources that we have. It's simply not an option to say we can't do it without more. To that end, I believe that the district needs to do a better job on kind of its trustworthiness, because it, I believe, is failing in that category, and that's causing problems in all of these conversations.
All right, so let's address that. What areas of trustworthiness are your greatest concern?
Well, for one, I think there's a communication issue. As a parent, as someone involved in state policy, oftentimes what we're hearing on the legislative level and at the state level is not what is happening on a site-based level. I'm also a member of an SOT committee. I'm a community member at Mojave High School, the school organizational team. And this was created through legislative action that allowed more of a focus on a site-based system and more accountability. And so school organizational teams in Clark County are allowed to have a community member. They have parent representatives. They have support staff representatives. They have administrative representatives. And it's just a committee to have a group look at what the school's doing, what their individual student achievement is accomplishing, and what are the challenges at that site. And that experience has kind of opened up to how, in my day job, from a public policy standpoint, the decisions that are made at the legislature ultimately end up funneling down to those small, in the classroom, site-based decisions. And I think that's where the communication problem erupts. I also think that the district is doing some of the right things. Just last week, we had a special meeting of the school board where the new CFO, who's doing tremendous work at the district, talked about all the internal controls and the annual audit that's conducted. But that information doesn't seem to be translated into the general public, who still believe that an audit needs to be done or hasn't been done, or that there's money somehow missing. And those things are just false, but the district needs to do a better job at communicating those to the public and to our state representatives.
And well, that was going to be my follow-up question, which is that the school district certainly has a lot of communications people, but the message is not getting across. Where does that responsibility lie?
Ultimately, I believe it relies with the board. I mean, as a trustee, I believe that you're elected to do just that. You're a liaison between the education community through the superintendent. You're a liaison to parents in your community, but ultimately to those voters that elected you there and are saying, yes, you can spend our tax dollars based on the priorities that you're identifying. So to me, it's a trustee issue. And until the trustees step up and are out more and doing more, and a lot of them are. Facebook has been really, you know, a good tool for that. You see them out more doing. But I don't think any of them yet have picked up a microphone and really taken that mantle.
Do you consider yourself in this instance to be a disruptor?
Perhaps. I think more importantly, I'm just inquisitive. Curiosity. I sit in hearings every other year for 120 days, whether they deal with retail issues or education issues or anything, and you just pick up on a lot of things. And so I think I have more questions, certainly, than I have answers. But I think it's time to start asking the right questions and making sure that those answers are then communicated in a way that the community comes together and we can solve the problem.
As you look at the whole education spectrum, you have charter schools, you have Zoom schools, Victory schools over the past few years. Are any of these things, in your opinion, come to a successful point where they can take those lessons learned and put them into the school system in general?
I think we've seen too much turnover in programs that are designed to help specific students. You mentioned two particular programs that came in that are now going to, I think, believe, be being replaced with a new statewide funding formula. So whether those programs worked or not, we've already decided that that money is going to be reappropriated differently. We do this when we put in new principals at schools. For whatever reason, you know, the teachers have chosen to maybe follow a principal, things may be getting on track, they're successful, and then we pull that principal somewhere else and there's disruption because now teachers are upset and there's been changes. I think more than anything, we need some consistency and we need some longevity in some of the decision makers that we have.
All right. So where does this come from? Does this come from the trustees? Does this come from the state? Where would you like to see the regulation come from?
I'm not sure that the answer is regulation. I think the answer is, to me, the school district employs 20,000 education experts, whether they're support staff and they're charged with actually the logistics of the school, whether they're administrators and they're the executives making those decisions, or they're teachers. They're all experts. I think we should be listening to them and what they have to say. And we've heard it all along. The big thing that teachers are asking for is a reduction in class sizes. The biggest thing parents are asking for is a reduction in class sizes. But we've made no concentrated effort in the last several sessions to address that issue. And so to me, those are issues that are being left behind because trustees aren't picking them up.
A lot of people talk about more basic things in terms of education, like kids getting enough food, for example. Is this something that you look at and go, yeah, that's a problem?
No, certainly a problem. I think, though, what we've done is we've assigned that problem to the Clark County School District or to any school district, really, and say, look, those are your kids. You need to solve this problem. You need to make sure they're fed three times a day. You need to make sure they're fed over the weekends. You need to make sure they have everything that they need for summer, when, quite frankly, I think a lot of those responsibilities rely on other local governments, of which the school district is just one. The Clark County School District is taking major steps in, or the Clark County Commission, excuse me, is taking major steps in moving on truancy. There's going to be an MOU with the school district to get that going, but using the government social services to actually solve these problems so that the school district can concentrate on what we're supposed to be concentrating on, which is student achievement.
How do you feel about charter schools?
I think competition is healthy. I certainly am not in a position that charter schools should go away, but I am in a position that if we do our job right in the Clark County School District, charter schools won't be a choice that parents want to make. I believe they are very disruptive to the overall school system. You have parents that are obviously very involved, very worried about their kids, very making sure that they're doing their homework and they're staying on top of them. And they're almost self-selecting to pull out of their zoned schools and they end up at these charter schools. And so what's left at a zoned Clark County School District are parents who didn't actively seek that, maybe aren't as informed or have another variety of issues why they can't answer to a charter school. And I think that only decreases what happens at the public school. And so they certainly have a right to exist, but I think if we're doing our job right, they become unnecessary.
Do you feel that the public school system, and not just in Clark County and Nevada, but across the country, is becoming a catch-all for all the ills of society that, you know, from mental health onward, that people feel that the school system should be taking care of that when they neither have the resources nor the money to do so?
I think oftentimes it's easiest because the school district does have a captive audience of the 320,000 students that are in Clark County, right? And so if you need to reach that population, of course the school district needs to be a partner in that discussion. What I'm concerned about is how many of those conversations is the school district leading, where we need to be a partner but not in charge or not ultimately responsible for making sure that their parents are educated and that their parents have, you know, assistance. And we've seen that model with the Harbor that the Clark County Commission is working on, which is trying to answer a lot of that. And I'm very excited that the district seems to be willing to start sharing information with the justice system, with the Clark County Commission, so that we can actually have a community solution to these problems.
All right, let's take a break. More with Brian Wachtel when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Wachter, who has announced on the program today that he's running for a seat on the school board of trustees of Clark County School District. A couple of other quick questions I wanted to ask you. One of the difficulties in a service economy is parent involvement, because you may have parents who are working two, maybe three jobs, and both parents. So their involvement with their kids has to be limited just by virtue of survival. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking parental involvement certainly has different levels, and you could go all out. You could run for PTA, you can run for the school board. But at the end of the day, too, are you doing homework with your kids? Are you checking, you know, that the work is done? Are you instilling a need or a desire that education is important in your kids? And I think that's number one. Number two, I know that the district has a lot of resources that they use to reach out to parents to increase that parental involvement. What do you need? What are those hurdles to get you to be more involved? And so I believe there are resources out there. I'm very cautious, right? Is it the school district or the legislature's job to legislate or regulate parental involvement? But there are ways that we can be reaching out to those communities.
And for example?
Through FACES, which is an organization with the Clark County School District that's about families and communities in schools, making sure that parents are coming to maybe a math night or a reading night and are learning new activities and things that they can be doing at school. Another thing is some of the seminars that are put on for parents during the summer. How do you stop that brain drain, you know, for those 2 months? So I believe there are a lot of resources out there. The bigger part of that conversation, I think, though, is an economic conversation, Sam. It's about what kind of jobs are we offering in the community? What kind of jobs are in Nevada? How do those play out? And is it because they're working multiple jobs and so they're unable to be involved? Is it because they just happen to work on a shift schedule and so that's the reason? Each of those scenarios requires a different way of looking at it. And I think we have to identify what are the hurdles to that involvement and then who's the most appropriate resource to look at that hurdle particularly, whether it's the Clark County Commission, whether it's a local city government, or whether it's the Clark County School District.
All right, so over the course of the last 2 years, for example, because you've got kids in the system, how many school board meetings have you attended?
I would say probably at least once a month, if not every other month. The great thing is the school board, and this should be for everybody, broadcasts all of their meetings, so even if you can't make it down there, so I can tell you I've listened and watched every school board meeting, but even if as a parent you can't get down to say yesterday's school board meeting, which was at 8 a.m, you can still be actively involved and listening for that information. I do serve, like I said, on the SOT as a community member at Mojave High School, which is where I graduated from. I'm also on the superintendent's parental advisory committee as a parental representative there, and so I've been involved in a lot of the different groups and parent groups trying to figure out how the system can work to increase student achievement.
And you realize that this is a huge commitment. The number one topic for every parent is education.
Well, it should be the number one topic for everybody, period, Sam, right? Everything derives
from... Well, we all have a stake in it because we all pay for it.
Well, we do. I mean, the Clark County School District graduates 16,000 students every year into whether it's college, whether it's into the workforce. Hopefully it's not, you know, they're not falling in through the cracks. That's a large group of people that you're turning out. And when student achievement and our test results prove that, you know, 15% of our high school, I think it was high school sophomores, cannot read at a fifth grade level, then how do we celebrate the fact that our graduation rate keeps going up? And those are concerns that need to be addressed. And whether it's crazy or not, everyone does have an effect in whether or not we're producing smart, well-educated, well-rounded, civic-minded students.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about your day job after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Wachter. He is the Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. Wanted to hit a couple of topics from your day job. One of the items that was being discussed coming into work this morning was SNAP benefits being cut to the level of about $1 billion a year. This is going to affect quite a few of your clients.
Certainly will. I mean, to be clear, this particular regulation change was about single, able-bodied, those without dependents work requirements. That'll be this particular group that has those benefits taken away. I think what is interesting and should be the cautionary tale is whether or not those benefits are designed to be an incentive to work or whether they're designed to help those who are having a bad time or a difficult time actually eat. I'm cautious that anything that is going to remove those folks from that SNAP benefit is only going to lead to an increase in social services and other places.
Well, one of the things that was interesting about this is that it's dependent on how many hours you're working. And a lot of people who collect SNAP benefits actually work for major retailers like Walmart, etc. And so if their hours are cut back for whatever reason, then they could end up losing those benefits.
Certainly. I think there certainly are large organizations that have people who also accept SNAP benefits. Unfortunately, I believe the Clark County School District is one of them. The state right. government is one of them as well. And so it's certainly an issue that's shared amongst many. We need to be looking at ways that we're expanding the economy, and so we're increasing the number of hours that are worked for everybody so that no one needs to be on SNAP benefits. But at the same time, while we've recognized that there's a need for that, we should go ahead and continue serving that population.
All right, let's talk about the holiday season. Was Halloween a success this
Halloween
year?
Halloween was. I mean, I think the only real thing in the economy that seems to be growing is consumer spending, and that seems to be what is keeping us on track. We had an excellent holiday weekend. Over $550 million was spent by Nevadans over Thanksgiving and Black Friday. We're expecting a 5% increase in holiday spending in Nevada over last year. So consumer spending is up, and folks are, they're buying.
You know, it's really fascinating because you would think with all the political turmoil as we are going through this election cycle, that people would be more cautious, but in fact, it is the consumer that's keeping this economy alive.
Well, I caution that, right? Because if for some other reason or if there were a continued decrease in consumer confidence like we have seen, then maybe the one thing that is propping us up is going to be the one thing that kind of when it gives away, there's going to be an issue. You take a look at a third of car notes right now are 5-6 year car notes. There's a growing population of folks that owe more on the second car because they've rolled over the debt from the first car. But yet part of the GDP increase that we saw that came out in the last quarter was that auto sales were doing really well, and that was cause for celebration. So I think we need to be looking at what those numbers actually mean, how debt and credit and cash are being utilized by Americans in any way of life, and whether or not that's leading to a robust economy.
It's also fascinating to watch the major corporations in the country fighting back against the Amazons of the world by delivering products faster and faster to the stores, to the homes. They're no longer sitting back and being rolled over.
Well, the greatest thing about some of the retail giants, right, is yes, they're retailers, but they're really logistics experts.
Right.
How to get a product from, you know, a Providence in China to your local shelf is something that they've known how to do forever. And so I don't think it was any surprise that you saw Amazon start trying to adopt a physical footprint, especially in buying maybe Whole Foods and looking at some of the other property, because it is a massive endeavor to move that many products from one side of the country or one side of the world to the other. And I think this is what gives rise to some of the criticism from Amazon for maybe relying on the Postal Service as much as they've had, or some of those other issues, is that our retailers, they're geared up for this. They know exactly how to do that. And the retailers that are being absolutely successful this holiday season are the ones that are making it seamless. And we had more people buy holiday items on your mobile phone than we've ever had before. And so how do you get that seamless transaction from your phone into the store or on your doorstep? And we've been seeing that retailers are getting good at how to do that.
Yes, they are. And that's where we have to leave it, sir. Thank you so much.
Great
holiday season, and we'll see you in 2020.
Yes, thanks.
And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com, or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.